Please be seated. If God is all-loving and all-powerful, then why do we suffer? That's a question that all of us have to come to terms with eventually. Atheists and materialists have no answer to that question. Atheism and materialism can find no meaning in suffering. Catholicism, on the other hand, teaches that the answer to the problem of suffering is in the cross of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says, "Far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." See, for Catholics, suffering is not meaningless. Rather, when our suffering is united to the cross of Jesus, it has redemptive value. Just as Jesus saved souls by dying on the cross, we can save souls by uniting our sufferings to his cross. Jesus told us to take up our crosses daily and follow him. In making this invitation, he's inviting us to offer up our pain and suffering to God in imitation of him. This gives our suffering meaning. It gives our suffering redemptive value. Instead of being meaningless, our struggles help us to grow in faith, help us to grow in holiness, and most importantly of all, our sufferings can be offered up for the salvation of others. This is called redemptive suffering. Now, how different that is from the prevailing view in mainstream American culture. In American culture, suffering is considered the highest evil, and we're encouraged to avoid suffering at all costs. Painkillers are the most prescribed of all medications in the United States. Do you know that 1 out of 6 people are on antidepressants? 1 out of 3 people in 2015 received an opioid prescription. In America, killing an unborn child because it was conceived at an inconvenient time, which means that it will require sacrifice to bring it into the world, that's called women's health. In 2015, there were 638,000 abortions in the United States. That is more than the population of Baltimore. Quote-unquote, relief of suffering is used as an excuse to abort disabled babies. And in much of the secular West, pain is regarded as such an evil that even death is considered preferable. And therefore, euthanasia is promoted as a compassionate thing. Do you know that in the Netherlands, which is a little bit further along in promoting euthanasia than we are, in the Netherlands, doctors sometimes euthanize patients against their wishes. A few years ago, there was a nun in Holland who was dying of cancer, and her struggle was painful. Her doctor concluded that the nun's religion prevented her from agreeing to euthanasia, and he did it to her anyway without telling her he was going to do it. Afterwards, he felt both justified and compassionate for what he had done. Heinous as that sounds, that is an example It's only one example of many of what St. John Paul II called the culture of death. It's here. It can find no meaning in suffering. The only answer it has for suffering is death. And terrifyingly, it's spreading across the world. In contrast, Catholics believe that the cross, by the cross, Jesus has given meaning to our suffering. When our suffering is united with Jesus' suffering, it becomes a means of salvation, not only for us, but even for the world. That's why Paul can say, "Far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's why Jesus more than once said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." It's impossible to get through life without some form of suffering. Physical pain, disease, financial struggle, addiction, broken relationships. Indeed, Paul wrote, "All of creation is groaning." But by following Jesus and embracing our suffering, instead of being meaningless, like some people think, instead of being meaningless, our suffering acquires great meaning. This is the Catholic doctrine of suffering, of redemptive suffering. Now, a marvelous example of redemptive suffering is the story of Saint Jacinta Marto. St. Jacinta was one of the three children who were seers of Fatima in 1917, along with her brother Francisco and Lucia, their cousin. The third apparition at Fatima included a vision of hell, and that terrified all three of the children. Now, I believe that Our Lady gave that vision to them, not to terrify them, but that they would tell us, because she wanted us to know. So I'm going to share a little bit of that vision that they had that day. This is what the children saw. According to Sister Lucy in her memoirs, she described hell like this: "We saw, as it were, a vast sea of fire. Plunged in this fire, we saw the souls of the damned. They were like transparent, burning embers, all blackened or burnished bronze, having human forms. They were floating about in that conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames which issued from within themselves. Now they fell back on every side like sparks in a huge fire, without weight or equilibrium, amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair, which horrified us and made us tremble with fright." The vision only lasted for a moment, thanks to our good Heavenly Mother. Without that, I think that we would have died of terror and fear. It's important to keep that in mind. After showing the children this vision, Our Lady said to them, "So many people, so many sinners go to hell because very few people in the world offer sacrifices for their salvation." And then she instructed the children to say rosaries and make sacrifices for the sinners. She instructed them to practice redemptive suffering. See, there's two ways that redemptive suffering works. We can offer up the sufferings that daily life brings us. That is redemptive suffering. But some people actually take on something extra. Paul said in Romans 12, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." That's redemptive suffering, presenting our bodies. And so the children, even though they were just children, ages 7, 9, and 10, all three of them began practicing mortifications for the sake of souls. See, that's the point, for the sake of souls, to keep them out of that lake of fire. And they refused, they gave up their lunches, and they refused to drink water in the heat of the day, and they wore knotted ropes under their shirts. The vision of hell seems to have affected Jacinta the most, and she became the most zealous in her self-mortification. Jacinta would spend long periods with her face on the ground, praying and praying and praying, and then suddenly cry out, "Hell, hell, how sorry I am for the souls that are going to hell." After the last apparition, Our Lady told the children that Jacinta and Francisco would soon go to heaven. And Our Lady asked Jacinta if she wanted to go to heaven right away or if she wanted to suffer some more to save more souls. And incredibly, Jacinta said she wanted to linger and suffer more to save more souls from that terrible vision. Eventually, she developed pleurisy, endured an operation in which two of her ribs were removed, and because of her frailness, they could not use anesthesia. And she went through all that pain and offered it gladly for the sake of souls. That's heroic virtue when she was only 8 years old. By their sufferings, by their steadfast witness about Our Lady, despite ridicule and hardships, the three children of Fatima inspired millions and saved millions of souls. So, in conclusion, the purpose of the church is to save souls, keep people out of hell, help them get to heaven. All of us have a role in that. God has allowed a measure of suffering in each of our lives, but by the cross of Christ, God has also made provision for us to unite our struggles, our sufferings, our pain, and our sorrows to the cross of Jesus. So how are you suffering? Your suffering is not meaningless. Your suffering has tremendous meaning and power when it's united to the cross of Christ. Just as he suffered to save us, so our sufferings can be offered up to save others. The church calls this redemptive suffering. And I know that redemptive suffering is extremely powerful in God's kingdom, because we can see all around us in modern times that Satan has done everything he can to obscure it and discredit it and make us not even know about it. We're addicted to painkillers, euthanasia is on the rise, abortion is rampant, and suffering is considered such an evil that even death is considered preferable. But my friends, the answer to the mystery of suffering is nowhere to be found in the culture of death. Nowhere. Rather, it's found in the cross of Jesus and the Catholic doctrine of redemptive suffering. And therefore, let us learn to say, with Paul, "Far be it from us to glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ."